Welcome to Denton, USA, the home of happiness. All of us have heard of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, but have you heard of its sequel or its equal, Shock Treatment? Marla Darling, the CDS Drag, and the Alberta Abbey, with a grant award from Prosper Portland, presents the science fiction double feature 1975's The Rocky Horror Picture Show and 1981's Shock Treatment, a rare opportunity to see both films back-to-back at the Alberta Abbey, located at 126 Northeast Alberta Street. The science fiction double feature features an inclusive shadow cast of BIPOC, queer, trans, and non-binary, and differently abled upcoming drag and burlesque artists based here in Portland. The event will be on Sunday, October 29th, doors at 6 o'clock p.m., Shock Treatment at 7 o'clock p.m., The Rocky Horror Picture Show, 10 o'clock p.m. Both shows hosted by Marla Darling with unique pre-shows for both films. Prop bags will be available for $7. Don that little black dress and get ready to do the time warp again. Tickets available on Eventbrite. And welcome to another episode of the Gem of a Secret podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. Recently, I'd been wondering what accountability looks like in drag communities. I've been seeing a lot of posts online about these are the rules that you should follow. And, you know, sometimes people put their foot in their mouth and then folks want them to apologize for, you know, the things that they said or how they operated and things like that. And I saw a post going around that talked about what like professionalism looks like and how to get booked in gigs. One of the things they said was, you know, like be on time, be professional, help everybody out. And I think these are good rules to follow. But recently I was talking about how to not book somebody, because I think there was a post that went around saying you should also be as comfortable giving somebody a yes as you are comfortable giving somebody a no, like you're not going to book them for a show. And so I had written online, I said, well, you know, the thing that sucks about that living in Portland is that sometimes when somebody gets a no, it can turn into like a firestorm of drama for the producer or the organizer. Because back in my day, I remember being, I think I've said this before, but I remember being in Vegas and it was like my first couple of years in drag, and I showed a guy at the bar my picture, and it was my favorite picture up until that point, because it was like, you know, the photo where you feel like you're finally getting your makeup down. And I had showed it to him, and he goes, yeah, your under eye is terrible. Yeah, your under eye don't look good. Like, this is okay. Like, this is fine. But, like, this part looks terrible. And I remember being devastated. I was completely crushed because I was like, okay, cool. Like, because I had thought I'd finally gotten it. I thought I looked good. I also remember photos when I first started about how when I first started covering my brows and trying to, like, imitate a Trixie Mattel look. And I was like, this is a lot harder than I thought it was. And, like, my makeup, of course, looked terrible. But, I kept at it. And, of course, my makeup looks like it does today. But what's so interesting about that is, like, I wouldn't have gotten better at my makeup unless that person bullied me. Now, let me throw this out there. I know a lot of people are like, well, there's a way to help people to where they can receive that constructive feedback or let people do themselves. Like, you don't need to yuck their yum. You don't know what kind of craft they're going for. The thing is, people can't necessarily get better if they don't know that they're not doing it well. And I've had a lot of opportunity to work with some fantastic artists to help me get to the level that I need to be, which is really helpful for me in the long run. And so it's just kind of a really interesting conversation about being accountable to those actions. Like, if I'm going to give somebody constructive feedback, I would still hope it would come in a way that they will receive it well, because people do need to get better. There's a bunch of new artists out there who want an opportunity to play and do what they need to do. So since I am the messy podcast, as we call it, So there was another recent scandal that happened in Portland, and I don't know all the details, and this is a little bit of a trigger warning on SA. I guess a patron who is also a brand new drag artist went to a brunch, and they later claimed on the internet that they got roofied. They created a story post about the brunch saying, hey, this person's new brunch, like if you go here, basically you might get roofied is basically what they said. Then in the comments underneath that post, pretty much everybody from the cast of that brunch talked about how the person who had posted it originally had essayed folks in the show by like grabbing ass and stuff like that, which grabbing ass is still sexual assault, which is completely wrong, of course. See, it came out of the mouths of the victim, so I'm pretty sure that this is true, that he was smacking people on the ass as they walked by. Some of the hosts of the show had actually said something to the effect of, well, you came in there and you were already kind of messed up, and I was kind of watching the whole time, and I didn't see anybody slip anything in your drink. Now, the thing is about this story is two things can be true at the exact same time. Like, the thing about being roofied is, it's never supposed to be overt. Like, people shouldn't be paying attention to it happening, right? Like, the way you get roofied is, like, you took your eyes away from your glass for a second, or, like, you literally just looked to watch the show for a second as somebody was walking by. It's totally possible that somebody got roofied. And it's also totally possible that the person got roofied was also smacking people's ass. In both scenarios, I think that it's wrong. But one thing that I want to comment on, and we're going to bring this conversation together so nobody's really offended by this point, is that I think that it's a responsibility, if you are going to share your story about being roofied, I think it's responsible to include the venue. I think it's responsible to be like, hey, I think I got roofied. And even if you check cameras, you can probably never see if somebody gets roofied. So like, and then it's up to the venue to like be open to that conversation. And even if every single person in the city thinks that the roofing didn't happen, I think we should always take those accusations serious, especially if it's coming from the person who got roofied. A lot of people said, well, they just said that they got roofied because they made poor choices later on in the day. And that may or may not be true. But I think our first stance should be to believe that victim, right? And then I think we should also believe the victims, the drag artists in the venue who said, hey, you touched me inappropriately. Hey, you touched me inappropriately. Hey, you touched me inappropriately. I think it's important that we understand that just because, and this is a deeper conversation too, when we are, as drag artists, we understand that how we portray ourselves might be hypersexualized, but that's still not an invitation for anybody to touch us. It's not an invitation for anybody to think that we're easy. It's not an invitation, even if somebody says in the microphone, like, I want to give a BJ in a bathroom, which is one of my jokes that I oftentimes say. It's not a thing that's ever going to happen. I've never done that, even though I've been saying it for like a decade. It's one of those things where I recognize that who I put forth, and even if I'm flirting really hard, a flirting doesn't mean a yes either. Like, we understand all these concepts so much, and even if you are friends with an artist, I actually believe that I try actually not to physically touch anybody sexually, even if I'm friends with them, even when friends give me consent. I believe I save my physical touching for people that I'm like romantically interested in, I guess would be the best way to say. Like, I don't ever really want to cross that line with my friends, because like, I know a friend is going to remain a friend, and I know there's a conversation about, well, sometimes I have sex with my friends. Well, then that's a deeper conversation there. But when it comes to a show, I feel like at a show, like, just maybe don't cross the boundary. It doesn't make sense to, even if you're friends with the person, like, that just doesn't sit well with the audience, because the audience, we also don't want to show the audience that they have license to touch us either, even if you are friends with an artist. So in that capacity, I think that we need to be better as a community about keeping ourselves safe, especially when those actions happen. Now, I know people are like, Coco, you've literally been talking on this podcast about how do we like keep our community safe from a different perspective and playing devil's advocate in certain ways. But I never changed my stance. I believe that we should always believe victims. Across the board, we should always believe victims. And in this case, we had two victims going back and forth with each other about what happened on this day. And as a community, we were watching all of this unfold. And it's, the thing is, it's also not for us to participate in. Now, when somebody brings their information to the internet, they're inviting people to participate in this discussion, because the way that the post was written is like, hey, like, watch out for this brunch because you could get roofied. And then the comments from people who were in the brunch were like, hey, watch out for this person because they inappropriately touched us. Both things can be true at the same exact time. And so what needs to happen from this point is just community accountability. I feel like the person who originally posted it should apologize to the people that they essayed. And I do believe that that needs to happen more in a public way. And I also do believe that the venue should take the accusation of being roofied a little bit more serious. Trying to gaslight people saying like, hey, like you were kind of messy when you came in here. So this probably isn't true. Like, I don't know if that's kind of the best way to handle it. And the way I see when venues actually speak about these issues is I'd actually prefer venues not to speak about these issues. Venues too often are getting involved in inner squabbles, even if they're serious accusations. Like I said, a venue should participate in a dialogue privately if it happened in their space, but they never should get involved if it happened outside of their space. So in this capacity, I would have just wrote the person privately and just being like, hey, like, I'd love to have a sit down and let's have a discussion about it. Let's see what happened. And if they continue to rant and rave on the internet, then maybe take some legal course and be like, hey, defamation, I did reach out to you to try to talk about what happened. I'm so sorry that you may have been roofied in our establishment. Like, that's how I know when temperatures, when we get heated, we tend to make decisions that, like, we just want to defend our spaces. We want to defend our bars. We want to defend these people. But also the way that we get to resolution is by working with the people who feel like they've been harmed on both sides. And so that's kind of like my two cents about that drama, since people have been asking me to speak more about things that are happening in our community. So the other thing too that I want to get with this whole discussion before we get to our next part is also protect queer events. Now, oftentimes when saying protect queer spaces, I think we should also protect queer events. Just recently, and I know it was from a very positive standpoint, more than likely that this happened, but a show recently got canceled with me and a bunch of other artists. And I was really disappointed in that because we were like a queer showcase that was at the space. And and they said it was, you know, we're just kind of going in a different direction. We just want to make it more equitable for some other people. And that's great. And that probably is absolutely the truth. But queerness in a bunch of different spaces isn't guaranteed. So when we have queer events in straight spaces or predominantly, you know, more of a straighter vibe spaces, then, you know, we need to hold on to that because that gives us more opportunity to perform. It gives us more opportunity to be seen. And it also normalizes queerness. Even in Portland, it's really, as woke as we are, it can still be dangerous. It can still not be as safe. We want somebody to, it's a age-old definition of see something and say something. If you have queer people in your face, in your family, in your friend group, it makes it easier for you to speak up when something happens. Just recently, I actually had a microaggression that happened that I was just floored by. It did happen at my place of work, so I'm not going to go in detail too much because every time I seem to talk about my job, it always kind of blows up in my face. But basically, there was somebody who had said something really kind of inappropriate. And everybody that was on the call didn't really say anything. And the funny thing is I was thinking about, I was like, I need to say something. And my mouth was just, when it happened, my mouth just hit the ground. That somebody would just like so casually say something that was like not blatantly, it wasn't like blatantly like racist. It's under the category of like a microaggression, but it was definitely a problematic thing. Very problematic. And not in like the, like, oh, that's problematic. It was like, oh, that is a problem that you still think this way. I remember, I was just like, and then I remember the organizer of the call just kind of ended it pretty quickly. They're like, oh, okay, well, I guess we're just going to follow up with some other, and like, then the call just like ended. And I was just, my mouth was just still on the floor. I was like, wow. That I couldn't even believe somebody would actually go this way. Like, so it makes me realize that, you know, as woke as my bubble is, there's still so much work to be done in creating safe spaces, you know, improving mindset, healing community. Like, there's so much work to be done on this front. And so I want to make sure that the message that we take away from this first part of this podcast is we're going to take care of each other, be accountable to the things that we've done, own up to the mistakes that we've made, and apologize when necessary. And make sure that apology is public. If you're going to make a public offense, like, the accountability also needs to be public. Because that's the thing, like I always say, if you're going to put your business out there on the internet to have those conversations, then you also have to apologize for those things in public too. Like I said, a lot of mine always end up being in private. I'm like, you had 10 Facebook posts about me, so you need to post on the internet about that. So with all of that information, listeners, how are you doing? Let me know in the comments. Calling all thrill seekers and party monsters. Get ready for a night of wicked fun at the Hell of a Halloween Party. Join us on October 19th, 2023 at the Triple Nickel Pub, Portland's creepiest haunt, for a spine-tingling extravaganza you won't want to miss. This one-of-a-kind drag show is strictly 21+, so prepare to unleash your inner demons and let the spirits guide you. Hosted by the enchanting Coco Gem Holiday and the bewitching Autumn Rains, this night promises to be a cauldron of mesmerizing performances and hair-raising entertainment. Prepare to be spellbound by the captivating Astrid Aurelia, a finalist from the Boulay Brothers' Dragula Titan, as she bewitches the stage with her dark magic. But wait, there's more. Our monstrous cast features the devilishly talented Karaoke, the electrifying Wolfgang X, the magnetic Crucifix Magnetic, the haunting Duchess Dusted, the enchanting Cherry Blossom, the smoldering Destiny Smokes, the mysterious Umbra, and even Sue from Corporate will be joining the frightful fun. And let's not forget, it's Wolfgang's birthday show. Help us celebrate the otherworldly occasion in style as we raise our glasses to the nightmarish festivities. Don't miss your chance to compete in our spine-chilling costume contest. Dress to impress in your most macabre attire and stand a chance to win fiendishly fabulous prizes. Our expert judge panel will be holding their breath waiting to crown the most horrifying fabulous creature of the night. To keep your bones rattling and your spirits soaring, we have the incredible DJ Clear Cup spinning spine-chilling beats that will make you dance until the witching hour. So grab your broomsticks and get ready to move like the undead. Doors open at 9 o'clock p.m., so arrive early and claim your spot before the ghosts do. Triple Nickel Pub, located at 3646 Southeast Belmont Street, will be your haunted sanctuary for this unforgettable night. Pre-sale tickets are going fast at $25, available now at www.thecdsdrag.com/hell. That's www.thecdsdrag.com/hell, H-E-L-L. But don't fret if you miss out. Tickets will also be available at the door. So mark your calendars, summon your friends, and prepare for a hell of a Halloween party that will leave you screaming for more. Get ready to embrace the spooky season like never before. We can't wait to see you there.
It's a podcast. Check it out. Tune into what they tell you podcast. Check it out.
And we are back, listeners.
And I'm here, too.
That's Autumn, who doesn't have a name, apparently, for the kids. What are you wearing today, Autumn?
I am wearing a purple polka dot leotard, but also there's a skirt that doesn't match, and it's, like, really clashing and uncomfortable, but the sequins are lined, so it's not uncomfortable on my body.
I decided to wear purple polka dots. I had to make the dress myself because I'm overweight and it didn't come out as well. And it's not really polka dots as much as just purple fabric.
Well, and you kind of match my skirt.
Yeah.
So like, that's what makes it cohesive, but it's still fucked.
Yes. So, today, actually, at the time of filming this, we had a really amazing trivia. Which is really, wow, apparently I'm a little drunk.
Jesus Christ, girl.
You know, it's super funny. So the first part of the podcast, I want to talk about this. So I've been using ChatGPT to, like, write ads for, like, my trivias and bingos and things like that. And what's been funny about it is sometimes it goes super well, or otherwise there's, like, there's no in-between. There's either, like, 30 people in the audience or, like, one person in the audience.
It's either like it's a fun event or some robot wrote this and this is about to be Skynet.
Yeah, it's seriously, it was so funny. Like, we actually had the first time in probably about 8 months had somebody sitting in our balcony section at Lycan Brewing. And the only reason we knew that is because some random woman out of nowhere popped up and was like, well, we want to play too. And I was like, where are you sitting?
There's barely a table left.
And she was like, we're in the balcony. I was like, holy crap. Forgot about them the whole night.
I paid attention to them. Oh, I don't understand. I was inside friends. Because we had inside tables and outside tables. We had 9 teams playing, which is the highest number of teams we had in probably ever.
Yeah, it was really amazing, which is funny. Our main bartender who works with us, his name is Andrew. We love Andrew.
He's on vacation at the seaside. I'm not sure which seaside, but fuck him for leaving us.
I know, he hates us completely.
But also, he's a mean fucking person. And so, he leaves and everyone shows up. They're like, Andrew's gone!
Andrew's gone. Sassy asshole who's so mean to us. No, we love Andrew. It's part of his shtick. He's really nice to the patrons. He just treats me and Autumn like trash.
You see his shtick?
I have not seen his shtick. His backside is ginormous.
Prominent.
Prominent. There we go. That's a safe, friendly word to use. Which is super funny because, so, Straight Nate, who's a part of a band who has mostly queer people.
His name is just Nate. We just call him Straight Nate because everyone else that works there is of the homosexual variety.
Well, the funny thing about him is he's in a band where everybody else is queer, and so they call him Straight Nate. That's why Andrew calls him Straight Nate. And so, what's really interesting about it is, like, somebody broke a glass. And I know this probably sounds problematic, but what happened was, like, he was cleaning up the glass, and I just made a joke on the microphone. I was like, everybody stop looking at his ass. And he literally turns away from the audience, and the audience is predominantly straight, by the way. And he's just, like, sweeping it away. He's like, stop looking at me!
And I missed it completely. It was so disappointing, because he's pretty.
He is a pretty man. He is a very pretty man.
Oh, there was this one biker, though, tonight. He was so pretty, and his premise was that I was like, hey, you seem gay, because he was pretty. I was just trying to harass him. And he's like, well, I'm not, but I've sucked a couple dicks. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then he made a joke about easy insertion. And I was like, sir, you can't say that around a homosexual that finds you pretty. And then they were the first table to leave.
Yay. We're obnoxious. You know, the funny thing is, so actually, I think the first part of this podcast can be about this specific subject. So just recently, I think the majority of the events that Autumn and I produce in a month are going through aggressive and rapid changes. So we got a brand new trivia in Forest Grove, which went really well the first time we did it last month. So we're going to be doing that.
My favorite thing is whenever I tell people that, they're like, Forest Grove! If, for those that don't live in Oregon, Forest Grove is like if you lived in New York City and then you drove to Yonkers and then just kept going. Or if, like, you lived in Los Angeles and then you drove north into the mountains and just stayed there.
Or if you lived in Colorado, for my Colorado listeners, it's literally, like, the Grand Junction equivalent difference to, like, Denver. It's pretty dang far, and it's a completely different
atmosphere. It's thankfully a college town, so there's children, but it is unreasonably just conservative.
It's so conservative.
It's like going from Grand Junction to Montrose. It's like,
oh, yeah, that's tea. That's tea.
I had a funny thing to say and then I absolutely just forgot it. it is a wild place. So we have a place in Portland here called Hillsboro, which is far away. Mm-hmm. And then if you just decide you wanted to leave society completely, you go into the cornfields and then the children of the corn appear, and then you finally 10 minutes later appear in Forest Grove.
That's kind of tea. It was really far out there. Like, it took us a minute to get there.
An hour.
It was a solid hour drive for a gig. I mean, the money was good. The crowd was great. The bar was nice.
Like, all of the bar owners said the most kindest, least homophobic thing. They said, you can have however many you'd like, and we like a lot.
And the funny thing is, the team that won actually was, we found out later, because that bar has a lot of bar owners, like there's multiple ones, and that was
cooperative,
the team.
Or whatever,
they're cooperative, and that's the team that won, so it was actually pretty cool. But the thing is, the reason I'm bringing it up is because we, in this last month or so, we've had a lot of our gigs.
I expected to get gay bashed, but the only thing I got was COVID.
She got COVID from the bar. It's And like me and Adam were super fine. And the funny thing is, like, we had tickets to go see Beyonce. We saw Beyonce like right after that show.
Yeah, no, I was that white girl in the corner giving everybody Beyonce next to us. Not Beyonce, COVID.
Everybody Beyonce next to us. And so no, it was an interesting journey because so in the last 48 hours, and I do mean the literally the last 48 hours, I've been written by many of my bar owners as my last podcast stated, like, you know, I'm no longer doing a race shirt back to earth for reasons. And then like, so we have this new gig starting at in Forest Grove, but then, and I'm not going to say which bar because that's not our story to share just yet, but one of our bars that we work at is closing, we just found out. And you'll all see that online. I'm super sad because we love that gig.
Fuck the gig. That's like our good, like, I met this, the lady that owns the place when I was working back at Stag two-ish years ago. And, they just popped in. It's two of my very bestest friends. And I was driving by today and I was like, oh, I want to pop in and see my good Judy. And like one of the first things she said was, she's like, I'm closing the restaurant. And glad for her because she's making good financial choices for herself, but also just very sad because that's like one of my favorite times to like hang out with them.
Yeah, it was, they actually were one of the only groups of people that came when we had our very first at Second Street Bar, I believe in Gresham, I think is what it's called.
And when we had a show in Gladstone that had a full Proud Boy, like...
Oh, they did come to that. And they came to our show in Forest Grove. They're actually the ones who hooked us up with that gig, actually, in Forest Grove.
One of them was.
Yeah, one of them
not,
was.
Not the owner themselves. But also, like, I call them our Oregon City moms because they will protect us from everything, and they're just the kindest people.
Yeah, so that's a huge bummer. So, like, literally... When Autumn texted me about that bar closing, it literally came on the heels of a different gig that we have at Gigantic Brewing. They were like, they're like, we love the drag show there, but we want to move days for it. And then your karaoke that you're doing here is just not getting enough attendance, so we don't want to continue with that anymore.
It wasn't.
We struggled.
It's the unfortunate part about, they wanted us to bring people in, but it's just, there's no neighborhood nearby, and karaoke is such a neighborhood thing. That there was just, it was so difficult, and the most we had was like five people in the audience at one point.
And so we offered them a bingo, so we're gonna try that out on the fourth Sunday of the month at Gigantic Brewing at the 5524 location, and we're gonna see if that, you know, turns into something.
The 26th,
which is so funny. So we also do a drag show, Autumn and I, together at Il Salito, and literally 2 minutes after we got a text message from the owner at Gigantic, we got a message from the event manager at Il Salito that said, "Hey," and I was like, "Oh my goodness, what is happening today?"
And Coco was working from home, so she was on the second floor. She had opened her window to throw herself out of it. And then, thankfully, the next message came back quickly.
Yeah, it literally just said, what theme do you want for next month? I was like, oh, thank God.
She closed the window. We good.
We closed the window. We good. We're fine. But then, like, so, yeah. And then we had, and then this month in October coming up, we have three...
really big shows happening with Dragula folks.
Yeah, three really big shows happening
with Dragula. Off the top folks. Of your head, what are their names?
Let's see. So, on October 1st, we have Landon Cider coming. And then on October 19th, we have Astrid Aurelia coming. And then on the 28th, we have Kendra Onyx coming.
Yeah.
To Misfits. So it's Misfits, Triple Nickel Pub, then Misfits again. And we are literally two tickets, at the time of filming this, two tickets away from the VIP seats from being sold out for the Land Insider show. But that's the only tickets left.
Those are the only two. We still have plenty of tickets for you to come on in and support those other two Dragula artists. Please support not just the winners, but also the fantastic artists that we're bringing into town. Because putting Portland on the map with these artists means, like, it doesn't mean it's going to be a winner every time. But also makes sure, like... you're supporting everybody else so we can continue to bring them out.
Yeah, because the thing about drag in Portland, which has actually been really interesting to see, because, like, recently, not saying anything negative at all, but, like, Hot Take just recently happened with Sasha Colby, and it was a sold-out show, and Sasha Colby technically is a winner. Not technically, is a winner.
She is the reigning. She's the current fucking reigning.
She's the current fucking reigning, and the show sold out in, like, minutes of it being live. And the big controversy in the city was when the event went live, it was saying, like, we want to bring out, you know, big drag stars to Portland, da, 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 but, like, other events have already been doing that. It's just one of those things that just...
That was silly. It was like, we want to be the first to do this thing that has been happening. So it was cool that it continues to happen. It was just a little weird that it was they claimed to be the first.
I know. I was like, no.
Me and Coco hosted that really fun Bish show, like, at the beginning of this year. And it was like, we hosted a show that had Dragula, Drag Race, and folks from your show.
Yeah, it was great. We had Camp Wanakiki folks and Dragula and Drag Race folks, and it was amazing. It was super awesome to see my camp sisters and siblings and getting them out here and to be able to perform for us. And, like, we brought Tor Hyman, we brought Geneva Connection, who are winners of my show, and that was just a really good time. And one thing that really is interesting about Portland is there's a lot of opportunity for drag to consistently keep growing and, like, having these stages and platforms to be more than what it actually is. And I think that, like, me and Autumn have done a really aggressively hard job about, you know, bringing drag even into, like, straighter spaces. Because Triple Nickel Pub, for the most part, is not actually considered a gay bar, actually.
No, I was just hungover one day driving to Buffalo Exchange on Belmont, and I saw a fag flag, and I was like, a fag flag? Hungover as hell, went inside and was like, can I have a shot? Do y'all want drag? And then they were like, that'd be great.
They're like, sure.
And that bitch that gave me that shot don't work there no more.
Yeah, I know. She don't work there no more. But we've been there ever since, and, like, they've treated us really well. We do our weekly karaoke there. And we even do
our, like, karaoke. That karaoke is so much fun.
It is a fly.
And it's been so, like, it's gotten so much bigger. We had a, like, 25-person birthday party that was there this last week, which was insane.
It's always really fun when there's, like, a group of people who come out for karaoke. And, you know, what's interesting, too, about this month coming up is So this month we are keeping Gigantic on the same date that we had previously.
Which is the second Sunday.
Second Sunday. And then after that, it will probably change. But the thing is, having a more popular day like a Saturday might be beneficial for that show. But the thing is, I want to stay at that place. I think that the owners treat us really great.
It was so fun. We had a show at a bar right next to our house called The Saloon. That we did for 10 months, and the owner of Gigantic was actually just in the audience one day and was like, this is an incredible experience, we want to bring you in. And now it's been over a year and a half.
Yeah, we've been at Gigantic longer than we were at Saloon. That's kind of crazy to think about. Yeah, because, like, Pride was kind of our first time doing it, and last year, and now we're in September, so it's been
a year. I can't wait for this episode to be titled Autumn and Coco Bragging.
Yeah, I don't have a bragging about this because they do. And the thing is, like, at the end of the day, too, like, Autumn is a full-time drag queen right now. I do drag pretending like I do it full-time, even though I have a full-time job outside of it. But I love, the thing about that, what I love about drag and why I don't want to slow down is because even though we got so many things that happened over this last, like, 3 weeks about, you know, shows changing, dates changing, bars closing, losing gigs like Erasure, and whatever, and then we canceled, for the first time in my entire drag career, I canceled a show because of low ticket sales last month. It's my new brunch at Labyrinth Forge. I had to cancel it last month because we had only sold, like, 4 tickets. And this month, like, it's, like, you know, doing well. The ticket sales are fine. But it's just this world right now, this, like, this drag economy.
Everyone's, like, everyone's getting the vid. Everybody is, like, staying inside. Like, it's been weird this last month, for sure.
It was weird. A lot of shows across lot of different producers got
the canceled. Historical bad months for drag are January, November, and July/August. And September, which normally is a good month, was just wretched for shows all over. There's, like, a good Judy that Coco and I both work with that had to cancel 2 shows recently. And they were devastated, and I absolutely feel for them, because it, like, for the shows that we continued through, like, they could have been canceled because they were dead as hell.
Oh, yeah. So Dahlia Cash, who is the co-producer of Melange, an all POC drag variety show. Actually, it's a variety show that includes drag and burlesque. And they had written online, like, a month or two ago that said something to the lines of, like, hey, Portland, like, please buy pre-sale tickets. Because pre-sale tickets are what indicate to a bar that the show is doing well. I know that a lot of you like to show up, like, 2 days before and buy all the rest of the tickets, but we need you to buy tickets earlier so we can show our venues that this is a successful thing. Because it is true. Like, usually, like, the day of an event, like, you'll suddenly sell, like, 50 tickets out of nowhere. And that's great, and that's wonderful, because you all were like, you know, where all those kind of people are like, well, I don't know if I want to spend money on that right now. I don't know if I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm doing then. And then, like, the day before, you're like, oh, yeah, I remembered about that. I want to buy my tickets now. But there's a really good point about that, because venues and bars are looking at us to, like, be able to say, hey,
that no one's bought a ticket. Like, we're not going to be able to, like, do this.
Yeah, and then, like, and then this is also what hurts, too. Even though Dahlia didn't mention this, it's, you'll get people writing you right after you cancel and being like, I was going to buy a ticket. I was just waiting to get paid. And it's like, well, I hear that, and that's great. But
being in Portland, we have the cheapest show tickets of anywhere.
Oh my gosh, they're so cheap.
Like, you want to go to a show in like, Vegas, you want to go to a show in LA, it's, like, $35, $40. Mm-hmm. Our shows, like, Blow Pony is $16. Most shows don't go higher than that, because, like, the caliber of their show is incredible, and, like, that's kind of, like, the set, like, not limit, but, like, the... What's the word I'm looking for?
It's kind of like, I would say rubric, but that's not what I want to use, but that kind of works.
Not what I want to use. Like, what's the... It's the,
It's, like, the measurement, the standard, the...
Standard, that's a good word.
It's, like, standard. It's, like, the standard of, like, the higher caliber shows, and we all know that, like, the where Blow Pony's at has a lot more people who can attend because the venue space is bigger, so they can have a cheaper ticket price, but, where I'm bringing Landon Cider to, on October 1st, the venue capacity is about 100. So trying to get, like, a Dragula super monster into that space, especially a winner, took some finagling in a lot of different ways and sponsorships and all these other things to try to make that happen, because Misfits is Portland's newest queer plus space outside of Back to Earth. And we want to make sure that we can have, like, Portland being put on the map in our queer spaces. Because the thing is, like, when the Drag Race stars come here, they usually rent out a venue, like some random straight venue that can hold like 400 people. And that's great. And we'll all show up and we'll tip the money and whatever. But like, it's also great if we could like have it in queer spaces to where we can, you know, be gay and like have bartenders who are queer or queer plus and, you know, all this other stuff and just make us feel accepted and wanted in our spaces.
Well, and like recently I was in LA for a week at a bar called 340 and I'd never been there before, but they bring so many Drag Race girls. Like, my ex who lives out over there, he was able to see like Bianca Del Rio there, and it's not a huge bar, but they bring so many people, and it's not like in LA, it is a good hour away from like where all the downtown people are, and so like it's a smaller venue that's still kind of bigger, so it's like triple nickel, but mm-hmm. just out of town, and they're able to bring Drag Race people, so it's just wanting to make that happen here in Portland as well.
Yeah, because it's not saying that it hasn't happened before, like what me and Autumn are doing, or even what Bish does, or Blow Pony does, or even Hot Take did, like, or even like the off events that CC's does. Like, it's just saying that, like, hey, like, put Portland on the map. Like, we have Jinx Monsoon, who is the winner of all winter season of Drag Race, and it doesn't seem like we're still like getting looked at, right? From like WoW Presents, even though we had Flawless Shade, who was on Painted with Raven, who was a finalist from that. We've had several people from Camp Wanakiki who are finalists that have been here as well. We haven't had any Dragula people from Portland make it on yet, but we have talent here that's amazing, and I feel like we could really like push ourselves into that space, into that zone. And we even had like the House of Ada, right, from Legendary, who is based out of Portland too. So it's one of those things of where we are trying to be in that space. We are getting our national recognition, but we're also still getting overlooked when it's like time for a tour to pass through. And I would really love to be able to have that just be a standard of this community, because we have great drag here. There's so much great drag.
I mean, there's also just an aggressive amount of infighting that hinders that.
There is an aggressive amount of infighting. And the thing is, like, I think that people recognize that. Like I said, like probably about 10, maybe 15 episodes ago, that I do when I travel for drag, I ask people like, what do you know about Portland drag? And of course they know about Darcelle, RIP. They'll be like, oh yeah, Darcelle, oldest working drag queen is like usually what I hear. Sometimes they'll like mention people like Flawless, you know, who was on Painted with Raven and like stuff like that. But there's just like not a lot. Oh, and of course they now talk about Jinx. The last time I traveled, they do talk about Jinx. But Jinx Monsoon. But
the only other people that like would talk about them is if you like they had performed at the Austin International Drag Fest, they bring up either you or Diana.
Right, and then of course the, in certain cities they bring up like Sable Cities. They do bring up Sable. They're like, oh yeah, wasn't that one girl from Portland? And, like, they'll say that.
Love Sable. She's great.
Yeah, Sable's fantastic. But I would really love to see that grow and, like, let us be in that scene and, like, be in that space to where we have our print models and our songstresses and, like, you know, our musicians and everything like that in between. Because, like, a lot of these entertainers, they deserve it. They just need to have that chance, I guess, is what I want to get at. So kind of where I want to leave this off at is like, cause I know that kind of sounds like we're bragging about shows and whatever, but what I'm talking about is like things aggressively change. Like a year ago, all the shows that Autumn and I did, like we probably only have 25% of those shows, like, cause new things come up and things change and what bars want change and like how much they can afford to have drag changes. And I've been spending a lot of time like thinking about how to make this market more like fulfilling, make it better. Like I want to grow in my own craft about what I want to produce and how I want to do. This October is a big thing. I've never brought out three headliners in the same month. This is a new thing for me, and Portland so far is treating me super well with it, so that's beautiful. And you know, and we'll just keep moving on into like smaller places or bigger places and just keep doing our thing.
Yes, and remember, if you're in Portland and a listener of this podcast, you can get $2 off of the show at Triple Nickel if you type in the promo code Gem of a Secret.
Oh yeah, let's do that. That's a good idea.
I made that up just right now.
Yeah,
I'm just fucking with Coco's money.
She's just trying to take my money. That's what's happening. Yeah.
Yeah, you can get $2 off a ticket at the regular tier price. So that is $28 then before fees?
Well, it's $26. The main price is $26.
So that'd be $24 before fees. So you get $2 off if you use Gem of a Secret.
Yeah, on the promo code. Yeah, cool. Let's do that. All right. Well, this has just been rambling because we just had a gig tonight. But thank you so much, everybody, for listening. My name is Coco Gem Holiday.
It's only been like 23 minutes. What's happening?
Yeah, no, this is...
I thought it was an hour-long podcast.
Oh, no, it's 30 minutes.
How am I supposed to get to work and back? I'm just kidding. My name's Autumn Rands. I'm just a silly bitch that loves to just hang out.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Toodles.
Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.